Church for our installation service. Certainly appreciate you being here. I'm Tim Smith and part of this installation commission. And before we begin, I want to just take just a moment to explain what we're doing here and what installation is about. Installation is just formally beginning the relationship between the congregation and the pastor. And, you know, I think a lot of times in our culture today, we have a lot of misunderstanding about the relationship between a congregation and the pastor. I think too many times maybe our pastors see the ministry as a career and as a job and instead of a unique and special calling. And I think sometimes our congregations see the minister more as a hired hand instead of being the shepherd of the flock and having that unique relationship between the church and the minister and each person involved. And it certainly should be a special relationship, and as in any Christian relationship, it must be filled with love, with patience, with forgiveness, with understanding and trust. And when those things exist, certainly it can be a very special and rewarding relationship for everybody involved. So let us join together in our call to worship. If you will read the bold part, I will read the part that's not bold. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live.
Do not put your trust in princes, immortal men who cannot save.
When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever.
He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the foreigner, and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked.
The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon praising your name for this beautiful day that you have given us and for this occasion in which we come together here. We ask for a special portion of your Holy Spirit as we gather and worship and praise your name above all. And we ask for your blessings upon this relationship between Jason and between the Jenkins congregation. We know that with your help, O Lord, through your Spirit, that this relationship will be one that will strengthen Jason, his family, as well as the church. We pray that you would guide all persons involved today and in the years in the future, Lord, so that your will might be done in all things, and that this church and his ministry might be a witness to this community of the love of Jesus Christ. Please forgive us of our sins, O Lord, and where maybe we have not served you with a full heart and where you have not always been first in our life. And again, may your Spirit guide in all that takes place here. And we ask this in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand together, and we're going to sing our song of praise, Whosoever Will.
Whosoever will, whosoever will, whosoever will, stand upon the wall.
Hear the call to confession from the book of the prophet Micah, the 6th chapter. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? We'll now take a moment of silence to come before the Lord with that which has separated us from God, that we might put that behind us and start new with our lives, as God forever gives us the opportunity to do so. So let us now silently confess the sins and the shortcomings of our lives to our merciful God. Now hear the assurance of pardon. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Praise be to God. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now rise and exchange with each other a sign of God's peace. A handshake, a hug, a greeting. Greet your neighbor.
To me you are a father, a strong and gentle hand. You carry me, you guide me, the rock on which I stand. cornerstone, the centerpiece of all eternity. You are the Son, a Savior, incarnate God, the man who came to give his lifeblood and offer outstretched hands upon a cruel and rugged cross to save this world so lost. So make me your song, make me the echo of you, as you sing your triumphant, transforming truth. Let my life be the echo of you. In me you dwell a spirit, the hush that bids me still, to hear the call, to feel the pull that draws me to your will. The movement and the mystery, the dance of God through me. So make me a song, make me the echo of you, as you sing your triumphant, transforming truth. Let my life be the echo of you. Echo of you. To me you are the Father, the Savior, the Spirit, my God, my God, my God. So make me a song, make me the echo of you, as you sing your triumphant, transforming truth. Let my life, let my life let my life be the echo of you.
Jason, I didn't come because of the honor to preach. I just wanted to hear him play and sing. No, it's an honor to be here and very thankful to be back at Jenkins. It's been a while since I've been here and it's very nostalgic. I worked here for a short period of time and have a lot of good memories connected here. So I'm very thankful. Today I'm going to be reading from the book of Acts, chapter 16, and I'll read verses 9 through 15, and I'm also reading from the Common English Bible. A vision of a man from Macedonia came to Paul during the night. He stood urging Paul, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Immediately after he saw the vision, we prepared to leave for the province of Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We sailed from Troas straight for Samothrace and came to Neapolis the following day. From there, we went to Philippi, a city of Macedonia's first district and a Roman colony. We stayed in that city several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the riverbank where we thought there might be a place for prayer. We sat down and began to talk with the women who had gathered. One of those women was Lydia, a Gentile god worshiper from the city of Thyatira, a dealer in purple cloth. As she listened, the Lord enabled her to embrace Paul's message. Once she and her household were baptized, she urged, "Now that you have decided that I'm a believer in the Lord, come and stay in my house." And she persuaded us. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Ministry has changed drastically over the past couple of millennia. As you probably know, the shifts in culture and our context have a lot to do with that. I sometimes wonder what the previous disciples and ministers, Christ followers and leaders, would think if they could see Christianity today. What would Paul and Peter think about the numerous directions that have emerged from what they thought was just a new Judaism? What would Constantine think about what he simply gave tolerance to in Rome? What would all of the crusaders who fought and died for religion think of religion today? I wonder what Thomas Aquinas, the writer of systematic theology, would think about all of the numerous theologies and theories of atonement that exist in Christendom now. What would John Wycliffe, the translator of the Bible into Middle English, think about the hundreds of biblical translations you can purchase at the bookstore today? What about Martin Luther and the Reformation? How would he respond to knowing that all of his complaining created hundreds of different Reformed churches? What about our Cumberland Presbyterian forefathers? What would they think if they knew that the new little synod that they decided to start turned into a global denomination with churches in South America and Japan? What would these leaders and these disciples think about all that? Ministry has certainly changed from what it used to be or has been. And regardless of how you try to keep it from changing, it's going to continue to change. Seeds of ministry have to be planted on rich ground, nourished and fertilized, or the weeds of the world will just choke it out. Then we'll have a bunch of pretty little monuments with steeples in the world. That's a different sermon for a different day. But as much that has changed in ministry for the name of Jesus Christ, there is one thing that has not changed. There's one thing that has not changed, and this sentiment is what continues to nourish and grow the light and the reflection of Christ in the world. It is the intrinsic call to serve. the call to ministry. It is that feeling that a believer gets when they grow restless and they know there is something that they need to do, but they do not know how or where to start. It is that moment in a disciple's life that they know that change is needed because the current situation has become unstable. It is when a believer cannot sleep at night because they feel like there is a distant voice calling them and shaking them out of their comfortable situation. It is when you become so comfortable with your current situation that you start to get worried, because that is when God stirs things up. It's a call to ministry. And when a believer accepts that call, things change. That, my friend, is why we have great shifts in Christian ministry. In the scripture I read from the book of Acts, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, knew something about being called to ministry. He knew something about stepping out of his comfort zones, and he knew something about taking leaps of faith. As the story goes, he receives a vision from a man that tells him that he is needed in Macedonia. This was a large province under the Roman rule. The newly established Christian movement was not well accepted in this place. As a matter of fact, they would be imprisoned and persecuted if their Christian identities were exposed. However, verse 10 reads, "Immediately after he saw the vision, we prepared to leave for the province of Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the good news." There was no discernment process. There was no logistical breakdown. There was no saving money or writing out the pros and the cons of the mission. They immediately reacted to a vision that Paul had to go to Macedonia and serve God. They did not measure out what they had to gain or lose. They received a call and they went. After these apostles arrived in Macedonia, they spent a few days at idle. Again, they have to be very cautious about this situation with their mission. If the authorities find out what they are doing, they might be imprisoned or even killed. At one point, they go to the riverbank, which was likely a common place of prayer and worship, and they meet a Gentile woman named Lydia, a Gentile that likely other God-worshipping religious circles would not accept. Gentiles were considered, some were considered pagan, even heathen. But that was and is whom God led these apostles to. She embraced Paul's message, and then she and her family were baptized. Then she and her family took the ministers or missionaries into their home and showed them hospitality. It's such a great story. God calls these apostles to ministry. God calls them to take a risk or a leap of faith. When they do, God enables someone to accept it. Though much has changed in ministry, that has not. There are believers that are called to ministry, called to serve. When those people accept that call, I believe God enables recipients to receive the message, just as Lydia did. My friends, Reverend Michael has been called to serve this church. He had a call, and he responded to that call. He is a called servant of God, and he has been led here to be a spiritual leader. But I believe God has enabled all of the people of this church to receive his leadership, just as Lydia was enabled to receive the message from Paul. Now, the disappointing part here is not everybody will likely receive it. God enables us to do a lot of things that we never do. God enables us to serve God, but not everybody does. God gives us all tools that we need to go into the world and make a difference, but a large amount of Christians just simply show up for church on Sunday mornings for their free grace. It's true. God gives us all courage, but the fear in the world tends to cast a cloud of fear over believers. God empowers God's people to carry the torch of the Holy Spirit through the deepest and darkest places, but that doesn't mean they will ever embrace that ability. For the church members here at Jenkins, Jason's been called to lead your congregation, to lead you. That doesn't mean he is here to help decide what color the walls or the carpet's going to be. His primary objective is not going to make sure that the offering plate is full. He's not here to make sure you are happy or comfortable with sitting in the pews on Sunday mornings. He's not here to run numbers. He's here to lead you into a world of ministry. Help you develop spiritual formation and to strengthen your relationship with God. With that being said, he's here to lead you outside of your comfort zones, to strengthen your faith through challenges, challenges that you may not want to do. And he's here to help you continue to grow in spirit and to learn more about the unconditional love of God through Christ. There is a good chance that you're not going to like everything that he says or does. His leadership may be difficult at times, and it may become challenging. But be mindful that ministry is not supposed to be easy. It wasn't in the beginning, and it shouldn't be now. Spiritual growth comes from overcoming obstacles. I feel certain that Jason is going to lead you to some. Jason, you've accepted a call to serve God, and praise be to God for that. But you have not accepted just a job. You've accepted a challenge. You have accepted a call to lead people into ministry. You may not always be received or accepted, but you are not here to do what people want you to do. You're here to do what God wants you to do. Push yourself outside of your comfort zones. Challenge yourself. Exercise your body and your spirit, and let the Holy Spirit lead you. Preach from your scars, not your wounds, but preach prophetically. You are a pastor and a servant of God, but you cannot effectively pastor or serve if you do not pastor or serve yourself. Make time for you, make time for your family, and make time to listen to God. You've all begun a journey with a new pilot. May the peace, love, justice, and joy of Christ lead, strengthen, and be with you all. Amen.
According to the agreement.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today thankful once again for the presence of your Holy Spirit and thankful that we have felt it in this place. We pray, Lord, that as this relationship begins, may you be with Jason and strengthen his faith, give him wisdom, insight, and knowledge, and the ability to discern your will. And we pray, Lord, you might shield him from any temptations or distractions that might exist. We pray that you might be also with his family as they move to this new community. May you give them peace, and may they be fully accepted into this church and into our community. We pray, Lord, that you would also be for this congregation. May you strengthen their faith and help them to grow in love, grace, and peace, and once again to be a witness to the love of Jesus Christ in our community, so that so many that are unconcerned or not interested in the work of the Lord might be drawn unto him through their witness together. We pray, Lord, that you would now be with us as we go into the fellowship hall. May you bless the time of fellowship together, as well as the food, and we give thanks unto you for it. We ask all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.